In the story we read from John's Gospel this evening, Jesus has gathered with his closest disciples around a table in an upper room in the holy city of Jerusalem. And we're told that they have gathered there in anticipation of the approaching Passover festival, a festival whose origins and deep meaning we also read about tonight in our passage from the book of Exodus. This is the Passover of the Lord, the Exodus text proclaims. And you shall celebrate it throughout all generations and observe it as a perpetual ordinance. And so in keeping with this sacred decree, Jesus and his disciples were gathered on the eve of this most meaning-filled remembrance of Israel's deliverance from slavery. And as they gathered, the gospel also tells us that Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to be taken from the world. Jesus knew all that was about to unfold. He knew that by the end of this night, one of these closest disciples would betray him to the authorities. Another would deny him, and all of them would desert him in this, his hour of greatest anguish. And yet there he is, in their very midst, breaking the bread of deliverance with them, and sharing the cup of their salvation, eating with them and blessing them, and even getting down on his knees to humbly wash their weary and dusty feet. Showing them by all of this, his love and his grace, his care and compassion. At a very moment when we might have better understood his admonishment or even anger. In a world where we are so often surrounded by messages of retaliation or vengeance, and eye for an eye calls for retribution, on this darkest of dark nights, Jesus offers a completely different message, and one that's entirely consistent with the way that he has lived and loved since the very beginning. Jesus had done nothing wrong. He had lived a life of nonviolence and inclusion. He had healed the sick and raised the dead. And he had freed those who were held captive by oppressive structures and ideals. And he had brought hope and life to all those who needed it most. And in the end, he knew that he wasn't about to be thanked for all of this. Rather, he was about to be crucified. Because in the end, the goodness and kindness and compassion that he had pronounced and provided were far greater threats to the Roman authorities and to the religious leaders of his day than any army or weapon could have ever been. He had so radically upset their status quo and undermined the basis of their authority that they had concluded their best and only conceivable option was to be rid of him. Once and for all. And on the night before all of this was about to unfold, Jesus wasn't running away. He wasn't plotting his revenge. He wasn't laying blame. Instead, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And that's where the word Monday comes in. Because what do you do if you're Jesus? What do you do if you know you're not going to be there much longer? And you have to tell the ones you love the most, the ones who have followed you and believed in you, the ones who sometimes make mistakes even in their best intentions. How do you tell them to keep moving forward in the ways that you have shown them and led them, even and especially after you're gone? The word Monday comes from the Latin word mandatum, which simply means mandate or commandment. And so when we talk about Monday Thursday, we're actually talking about Mandate Thursday. We're talking about the night that Christ told his disciples exactly what he expected of them. And the mandate, or the mandatory thing that Jesus tells them and us in this passage, is this: I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must love one another. Because it is by this, Jesus says, that everyone will come to know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, it's clearly not my place to rename our Christian holy days. But if it were, I might suggest that we change the name of Maundy Thursday to something like Mandate Thursday, or better still, Love One Another Thursday, or the last thing that Jesus really wanted us to know Thursday. Because this mandate is unquestionably one that we and all Christians need to be reminded of again and again. And we don't need to hide it behind fancy or archaic terms that sometimes unwittingly shroud or even obscure its meaning. We need to hear it clearly, that this is how Jesus said people would recognize us as his followers, by the love we have for one another. And maybe it would be helpful, therefore, to not only remember what this night is really all about, but it would also help us to remember as well what being a Christian is all about. And maybe if we always had this reminder, if we always had Christ's new commandment foremost in our thinking, then Christ's dream for us and Christ's dream for our world might become more fully true. In a few moments, we will be recalling the loving actions of Jesus. First of all, by the washing of feet, and then by the sharing of Eucharist. And as we do this evening, let us remember Christ's mandate to his disciples, the new commandment that he gave to them and gives to us as well. And may we know in our hearts, and may we show in our lives, the love that Jesus poured out for us, the love that he bears so faithfully and so fully for us, the love that he calls us, and in fact dares us, to be for one another and for our world. This do in remembrance of me, Jesus said. Love one another as I have loved you. May it be so. May we work to make it so. This night and forevermore.